Okay, Boker Tov World, today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet, and we're still on daf Chof Zayin Amud Beit, about one-third of the way up. And let me just remind you what introduces today's daf. So what we had yesterday was a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav says that in any case, if you've got two sisters. And remember that our issues over here revolved around the Achotze Kukato problem and the question of whether there is such a thing as a chalitza that is grua, which according to Rav will be chazer basically on all of the achim in order to be matir, which Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold up. So now we have a question like this. Rav also said that if you have two sisters and they fall in front of one brother who remains alive from the two brothers that died. So then if he went ahead and he did chalitza to the first one, so then that's fine. He can then go ahead and do chalitza to the second one. That's fine. If both of them fell and then the first one to fall dies, so then he would be allowed to marry the second one. That means that even though the second one, when she fell, was an achod zikuka, if you subsequently remove the zika through the death of her sister, she's no longer an achod zikuka. That's what Rav held. And certainly, the other way around, if the second one to fall dies, so then for sure he can marry B'yibum, the first one. Because the first one, who was the first one to fall to Yibum when her husband died, that was a week before the other husband died, the husband of the second sister died. At the moment that she fell, she was muteret, because her sister was not yet there zakuka. So she wasn't an achot zakuka. Then, when her sister falls to Yibum, when her husband dies, a week after the first one's husband dies, then she became asura, because of achot zakuka. So certainly, in that case, where she fell beheter, and the second one dies, certainly the first one is going to be choseret lehetera harishona, because when she fell, she was already muteret. Rabbi Yochanan says, now, no, no, wait a minute, that the second case that we just mentioned, I agree with, because a woman who was muteret at the time that she falls to Yibum, even if something prevented that Yibum in the middle, namely, her sister also fell to Yibum to the same brother, if something happens to her sister, then we can go back and be matir, the first one, because she was originally muteret. But if she was originally not muteret, then you have to aser her forever. Why? Because kol isha she'ein ani koreba, if I don't give her the din b'sha'at nefilah, the pasuk of, quote, yivamo yavo aleha, unquote, there is no longer any heter. Why? Continues the dictum. Because arei hi ke'eshet ach sheyesh la banim v'asura. You understand that the moment that you cannot do yibum to a brother's wife, that brother's wife remains usher forever and ever because she is an eshet ach shelo b'mokah mitzvah. And since the moment of yibum, that's what defines the mitzvah, so the moment that yibum should have been chal, she was asura. So she remains asura forever. So tain is Rabbi Yochanan. Rav, on the other hand, says, well, of course, that's the rule. But that's only a rule where she's absolutely precluded from Yibum because of the Deoraisa. Let's say that she was your wife's sister at the moment that she fell to Yibum. So then she's asura, right? She's asura forever and ever because she is now your brother's wife, shelo b'mokah mitzvah. So even if the wife dies and takes off the Yisr Erva that created the problem, it's not going to change anything, is it? Because it's too late to change anything. She remains an Eshet Ach, who was Shelo B'mokah Mitzvah. That's the bottom line. You can't take it off afterwards. It was only the moment that was B'chayev Yibum that could take it off. Well, of course, says Rav, that is 100% true. You got to be crazy to argue on that. What I'm saying is that since over here, it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan, this idea of Achot Zekukato. So therefore, you can undo it. take off the Issa Drabanan, namely, she's no longer Achotzi Kukato because she died, and therefore you can now go ahead and take the woman who became Asura because of Achotzi Kukato. What's the difference if she was Muteret at the moment that she fell or not? And therefore, I say it doesn't matter which one of the sisters dies, the other sister now becomes Muteret for Yibum. Now, it's important to get that Yisod straight so that we can continue to discuss the issues from our Mishnah and the related Mishnahs. Now, let me explain to you why it's so obvious that that's exactly what we're going to do now. Because when Rav and Rabbi Yochanan discussed the death of a sister, the death of a sister that removes the Zika through her dying is exactly the same, according to them, as something else that removes the Zika of the sister. What could that be? Well, it could be Yibum of the other sister. It could be Chalitz of the other sister. As a matter of fact, we saw that Yibum and Chalitz are even better than dying in terms of removing Zika, because before we had the Shita that Zika lo poka bichdi. Just because she dies, that doesn't remove the Zika. Fine, so Rav and Rabbi Yochanan don't ascribe to that idea. But certainly the moment that they talk about removal of Zika is also going to ex post facto be matir the other sister who is no longer Achotzi Kukato, and now you'd be allowed to go ahead and be miyavim her. So that should relate directly to the case of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah's case is that two sisters fell at the same time. And the Mishnah says there's no way to ever do Yibum to either of those sisters. It immediately strikes you, why the heck not? If the first one brother will go ahead and do Chalitza, he removed the Zika. So now the other sister is precisely in the same situation as a sister that fell, and then her sister died, and now she's no longer Achotzi Kuka. In this case, the sister didn't die, but marrying this guy is as bad as that. No, but the Chalitza that she got would have removed the Isser of Achotzi Kukato, because she's no longer Zikuka. So you immediately see how we are led directly into the issue of our mission, right? And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to do now, one third of the way up from the bottom of the daf. Fine. So the Gemara says like this. Eisvei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan. Look at our Mishnah, for heaven's sakes, and tell me how you expect to understand the Mishnah. Arba'a achim, shnayim yem nisuin shtei achayot. So we, our Mishnah, remember, four brothers, two are married to two sisters, the ones who are married to the two sisters die, the two sisters fall to the remaining two brothers. This is already like, this is first grade level Yavamas, right? Because this, we've had this 100 times. We've already iconized in our brain the case. We know exactly what's going on here. We don't have to even think about it anymore. So we know if two sisters fall to two brothers, they are Achotzi Kukos. Period. Okay. Now the question is, can either of the brother do Yibum? No, because you can't do Yibum to an Achotzi Kuka. Can you do Chalitza? Yes, because Achotzi Kuka is only an Isser Derabbanan. And it does not preclude the entire mitzvah of Yibum, so you're left with needing to do Chalitza. Okay, so if you need to do Chalitza, now each one is going to do Chalitza to another one of them. And that's going to be perfect, right? And the Mishnah is saying that's all you can do. But why is it all you can do? If one of the brothers does Chalitza first, then the other sister is no longer Achotzi Kuka, right? So then, let the other brother be miyabim. Why does it say that? I mean, why should we put it into a situation where nobody can be mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum properly? Let one brother do Chalitza and the other brother do Yibum. So, albeit it's true that Rabbi Yochanan only allows the removal of Zika to be matir a sister in the event that at the time that she fell, she was mutera. Okay, fine. So what you need to do is you always need to have one brother do Chalitza to the second sister that fell to Yibum, and that will allow the first sister, who at the moment that she fell before the death of her sister's husband, she was Muteret, she became Asura as an Achotzi Kuka, only subsequently. Okay, so remove that by having the brother be Cholets, the second sister, and then the first sister will become Muteret, and then we should have the other brother do Yibum. So why not? Don't we want to preserve the mitzvah of Yibum? So it appears from this mitzvah, from this Mishnah, that the removal of Zika does not make now a difference, ex post facto, to allow a brother to go ahead and do Yibam. A very simple question. Now, I just want to clarify to you, according to Tosfos, why does the Gemara only ask this kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, since it's a much better kasha on Rav? Because according to Rav, either one could do chalitza. What do I care which one you did chalitza to? Rav says, I don't care whether she was originally mutarat. That doesn't bother me. All that it bothers me is that she's currently not an achot zekuka. So it's even a bigger problem to Rav. Because according to Rav, we wouldn't even have to limit it to say, let the brother take bedafka, the second one, and that way the first one will now go back to being mutarat the way she was. According to Rav, go ahead and do chalitza to the first one. Because even though the second one at the time that she fell was Asura, remember that Rav holds that the klal that you go according to the moment that she fell, that's only true by a real erva d'oraisa. That leaves you with an eshet ach shelo b'makom mitzvah. But this is not a case where she becomes an eshet ach, so what's the difference? So it's a much better question on Rav, and yet the Gemara says that we're only asking this on Rabbi Yochanan. So Tosfos says, yes, that's true. But remember, Rav has got this other big issue that he created yesterday that Shmuel didn't agree to and Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree to, which is that if you have a chalitza gru'ah, do we have a chalitza gru'ah here? Oh, yes, indeedy, we do. Because anytime you can't do yibum, the chalitza is a chalitza gru'ah. So what's the din according to Rav? If you have a chalitza gru'ah, both brothers are going to do chalitza. But if both brothers need to do chalitza, then neither brother obviously can go and do yibum to the other one because now she's achot chalutzato. So it's not a kasha on Rav. Brilliant, right? But it is a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't buy into this new idea of Rav that the chalitza is chozeret on all of the brothers and they all have to do chalitza. This is a nice review of yesterday's sugya and should become now shagur beficha, very simple, very flowing. You shouldn't even have to think that it's like, well, what was that again? There's no what was that again. We know, baby, we know. Okay, so we're flowing along here, and let's just see that inside the kasha. We all understand the kasha instantly, but let's read the kasha inside. So to review our Mishnah again, ask Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina to Rabbi Yochanan, read the Mishnah for God's sake, arba'a achin, shaymeyem nechazuin shtei achayot. The ones who were married to the achayot die. Now it says both of these wives that come from two different brothers can only get chalitza. But now, according to what you just told us, why am I? Can't we have one of the brothers first, this is on Rabbi Yochanan, let one of the brothers first go and do chalitza to the second sister to fall to Yibam, and then the first sister now becomes back to her original heter. So Tahavi Arishona Lagabi Idach, let the other brother take the first sister, because that would be a case of the Yavama Shuhutra, and then subsequently was Ne'esra, when her sister fell to Yibum after her sister's husband's death, a week after her own husband's death. So it would be V'chazra V'hutra, because now there's no more Zika, because the brother did the chalitza to the second sister. So let the first sister taksor le'etere arishon. So Rabbi Yochanan, you are in big trouble with this Mishnah. Yeah, he says, I would be in big trouble, except that this Mishnah is insane. It's obviously a mistake. Achayot? I haven't found one shita that could possibly explain in a normal way to understand this Mishnah of Achayot. And therefore, this Mishnah is a mistake. And I simply don't learn this Mishnah. Well, I understand. There's a simple answer, isn't there? I mean, couldn't he say, well, when the Mishnah said chotzot, it didn't mean they both need chalitza. It meant one of them needs chalitza, but the other one got yibam. Come on, I'm not going to do something like that. I mean, it says chotzot. How could I say such a stupid answer? Well, what do you mean? We always say that stupid answer. And then we say, when it says lashon rabim, it means, in general, anyone in this situation is universally going to be chotzot. So any person, I mean, maybe that's what it means, you know. He could have said that, couldn't he? So, lema le my chotzot, chotzot the alma. You can't say that here. It says hare elu chotzot. It doesn't say people in the world. It says these two sisters are only chotzot. How can I say such a thing? Okay, say that that means that in the event that somebody went ahead and did chalitza to the first sister to fall, so then it's true that then neither of them is going to be able to get yibum according to Rabbi Yochanan, because the only sister that could go back to being muteret is the one who was originally muteret. But in this case, you took off the Zika through doing chalitza to the one that was originally muteret. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can't be mater the second one, because at the same time that she fell, she was asura. So you have a very reasonable explanation of the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah is telling you that in a case where the guy did the chalitza to the wrong woman, so then they're both going to need chalitza, that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach me. No, says the Gemara, because Rabbi Yochanan said it. It's not really a reasonable way to read the Mishnah. I mean, the word chotzot means this is what you have to do. Doesn't mean in the event that somebody messed up and took the wrong name, then that word chotzot means this is your only option. Chotzot. There is no option of yibum. And otherwise it wouldn't have said it in that way. Okay. But there's still a solution. Because Rabbi Yochanan could simply say, you know what the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah not allow either brother to be miyabe? Because if we allowed one brother to be miyabe, then maybe in the other case, they would also be miyabe. So, gzeira demakadim v'cholot l'rishona b'resha. What would be in a case, what am I going to tell you the halacha? Go ahead and first do the yibum, the chalitza on the second sister to fall, and then the first sister to fall will now become muteret liyibum. I mean, don't you think it's a reasonable gezerah to say, ah, come on, the people will say to themselves, these two brothers. Oh, you mean basically you're telling us you're allowed to take one of them in yibum, and you're not allowed to take both. Okay, fine, so we'll do it the other way. We'll do chalitza to the first one, and then we'll do yibum to the second one. So there's no way to tell people something like that and expect it, that it's going to actually be respected, that it's dafka in that order. So we make a gezeira not to do yibum at all. Isn't that very reasonable, Rabbi Yochanan? What, are you throwing out the Mishnah because you can't find some kind of explanation for the Mishnah? You can't say that because, says Rabbi Yochanan, it says, Hare elu chotzot ve'lo mit yabmot. What do you think? Obviously, if elu chotzot, then it's lo mit yabot. I mean, what else am I telling you? The lo mit yabmot means ever, never. There is no yibum, period. It doesn't matter who does what, when, and where. There is no way to do yibum. That's what it's saying. Well, wait a minute. But there's another solution to the whole problem. This entire approach is only a problem because of what? Because of Achot Zekukato, and only Achot Zekukato, right? But suppose the explanation of the Mishnah has nothing to do with Achot Zekukato. Maybe the explanation of the Mishnah is the other explanation, that we don't want to be mevatel the mitzvah yabmin. And therefore, we are worried that if we allow one of these cases, since it's also levatel mitzvah yabmin, so then if that was the case, then it's gzeira shema yamut. That's the problem. Then it works in both directions. I mean, what would be the difference? We can't go ahead and do that, because if we're going to allow such a thing, so then we're always worried. And what if the other brother doesn't get a chance to do the mitzvah? And then what's going to happen? And they may do it the other way around. And therefore, if one of the brothers does chalitza, the whole problem over here is that then there's a difference between the first brother and the second, the first sister and the second sister. Fine, I understand. But if the mitzvah is because also levato mitzvah is yapmin, then it doesn't matter because there is no difference. We can't let one brother take one sister in yibum because the other brother might die, right? And then we're left with a problem of no mitzvah at all because of that. Even if one of the brothers went ahead and do chalitza, we don't allow it. Even though, I mean, what can possibly go wrong now? He only did chalitza the first brother. He could do chalitza again to the other one, right? Because even though that's true, then it makes perfectly good sense to make a gezeira. That look, I mean, if we're going to allow such a thing in one direction, how do we know that they're not going to do yibum first? And then we'll be left with the bitul mitzvah yabin? Couldn't Rabbi Yochanan have said that? No, he couldn't have said that. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan thinks that that is simply not true. we do not make such a takana of osu levato mitzvahs yabin because of the absurdity that one of the brothers may then go ahead and die before he have. Why would we think such a thing? Since when are we chayish lemisa? I don't understand. So in that case, I mean, if we were chayish lemisa, then there would be terrible problems that would come up in anything. I don't understand. I mean, we have a get that a shliach delivered that was written yesterday. Wait a minute, we can't accept this get. The husband may be dead. And therefore, she's still chayav as a yibum. Maybe the husband died after he handed you the get. You walked out of the room, the guy dropped dead. I mean, whoever is such things, said Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, I can't believe that the way to understand the mitzvah, the Mishnah, is based on osu levato mitzvahs yibum. Because Rabbi Yochanan lemita lo chayish. But wait. There's a simple solution. The simple solution is that this would be going dafka according to Rabbi Eliezer, it should say. And that way we go through Rabbi Eliezer because that's the gears that we have in the Mishnah. And so all he needed to say is that this is going according to the man d'Omar who holds, which is Rabbi Eliezer, that any time that a particular Yavama was in a state of Isser, even for 1 second, she becomes Asura forever. And it doesn't matter when that second is, whether it's at the time that she falls, it's not the time of the fall, and we're going to see that in the Mishnah later. So therefore, everybody else holds that the issue has to do with the moment that she falls to Yibam. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, well, but in this case, I don't know how to explain the Mishnah, because the second one to fall, yes, she was Asura at the moment of falling to Yibam, but the first one to fall, at the moment that she fell before her sister was a Yavama, because her sister was still married, her husband hadn't died yet, at that moment she was Muteret. But if you simply replace that Shita with Rebbe Eliezer, namely that any time there's an Isser, that she remains a Surah, so it doesn't matter, because then there's no Chozeret Lehetera HaRishon. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan can simply say, what are you asking on me from our Mishnah? Later on, we're going to see Beferish that there is a Shita that says that it doesn't matter when she falls, she remains Asura. This Mishnah is obviously going according to that Shita. What's wrong? Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Yochanan said, I can't explain the Mishnah like that, for heaven's sakes. Read the rest of the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah has Rabbi Eliezer suddenly interjecting a different approach. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbi Eliezer says, now, wait a minute, this is a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. It's not really true according to everybody, right? But so then that means that the first part of the Mishnah was not going Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, I have no way of telling you, look, I'm not going to fool around with you guys. I mean, yeah, I can get away with saying any of these stuff and probably fool you into it, but it's all nonsense, so I'm not going to say it. I do not understand this Mishnah. All of your brilliant explanations are simply not reasonable. But wait, there is an answer. Why can't he say that instead of all of these answers, the whole issue only arises because we have sister number one and sister number two to fall to Yibam? Well, why can't it talk about the car crash case? Both brothers are killed instantaneously in a car crash. Now, both sisters have fallen before the remaining surviving two brothers, and therefore they are in a position that you can never remove the Zika from the first one, because there was no first one. They both became Yavamas at the instant that they were Achot Sekukato. So how are you going to remove the Zika from the first one? Simple solution. Childishly easy. You have to make problems, Rabbi Yochanan. In saying the Mishnah doesn't make any sense, it makes perfectly good sense. Of course, there is a tiny issue. The tiny issue being that the only Shita that holds that there is a possibility of things happening simultaneously in the halacha. In other words, that halacha will accept Efshar Litzamtzeim, and that in terms of blank time, it's a little bit absurd to entertain the notion of the instantaneous death. I mean, that's insane. They're 20 billion light planks away from each other. But okay, right? So this is one of Gavi's neighbors, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, whom he visits very often. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that there is such a thing, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who the Omer Efshar Litzamtzeim, so if both sisters fall to Yibam right away, so then there's no problem. There's no way to remove the Zika from number one or number two. Yeah, says Rabbi Yochanan, but there's no such thing. I've never found a Mishnah that we have a Stam Mishnah that would be going according to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that Efshala Tzamtzim. Okay, but that doesn't help. Because let's say that we don't hold of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and there was a car crash. So then what are essentially you're saying? You're saying, I don't know which one died first. Exactly. So you don't know who was sister number one and who was sister number two. So that's the answer to the Mishnah. Since there is no way to identify sister number one and sister number two, forget about needing to hold the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Lo Yadin and I Nefel Bereisha. I have no idea which one died first. Therefore, I cannot define sister number one or sister number two because sister number two may be sister number one. So there's no way for me to go ahead and make sure that sister number one goes back Lehetera HaRishona because she is not identifiable. And therefore, the Mishnah still makes sense. Why does it have to be going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Ah, says Rabbi Yochanan, because that wouldn't have been an answer either. Come on, why not? Because then the continuation of the Mishnah, the continuation of the Mishnah runs like this. Kodmu v'kansu yotziu. That if the brothers go ahead and they actually did Yibum, they would have to get divorced. Now, what I'm going to show you is that that makes no sense. Why should they both have to get divorced? Remember, says Rabbi Yochanan, the cases you're talking about is a car crash, not according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and therefore we have no idea who died first, right? Okay, so then we go to the brothers, and we tell them, gentlemen, out they go. You had no right to do Yibum, because we never knew who died first. Now, the first one to get married, who did Yibum, it makes sense to tell that first one, and we should say to him, excuse me, sir, who allowed you to marry this woman? She was completely asura to you, 100%, because she was achotzikukatcha. Okay. Out she goes. Now, the second one, we come to say, all right, buddy, it's your turn now. Out she goes. Me? Out she goes? I married her after my brother went. And horrible man, that guy, horrible man. He went ahead and he married Be'isser. He married the Achot Sekukati, but thank heavens he did that because that left me with the first sister to fall. And she now became Muteret again because she was Chazur Latera Rishon. He married the second. What do you mean he married the second? You don't know that. Well, you don't know otherwise, do you? I mean, are you telling me I definitely did something wrong? I understand why you can tell my brother he definitely did something wrong, but I can tell you, I know my brothers that died too, and I can tell you which one died first, man. So anyway, leave me alone, because I know what I'm doing. So how can we force him to get divorced because of the suffix? So the first one, we know that definitely, that was an answer, but the second one could say, listen, my brother went ahead, Chavrai, Shnia Yibem, and Ana Rishonim Yibem. I took the first one. So she was Muteret to me. And maybe he's right. So why should we force him to do a divorce at this point? Therefore, this cannot be the explanation of the Mishnah either. Okay, now go ahead. See if we come up with another one. I dare you. Hi, Nudika Omarle. And that's exactly why Rabbi Yochanan said, I hope that you are now satisfied with my opinion that I challenge anyone to bring me somebody who said this Mishnah in a way that's supposed to make sense. Achayot, any Yodea Mishnah. I don't know who was responsible for this Mishnah, and I refuse to countenance it. Okay. Ask the Gemara, all right, Rabbi Yochanan, how far are you going to go? I mean, are you going to say that every word in this Mishnah is wrong? You told me the Reisha is wrong. So let me ask you from the Sefer, okay, Tanan. So in the Mishnah, it continues on to say that if one of these sisters was asura to one of the brothers as an Isser Erva, so then he is allowed to take the sister. And the second brother, he's asura to take either of them, because to the brother to whom she was an Erva, so there is no Achot Zkukato, because obviously if she's an Erva, so then she never felt a Yibum to him, right? Now, we assumed that this meant, because it doesn't say anything over here about who did what when, right? So therefore, I'm assuming that this is true in any event. Doesn't matter which it was, which brother acted first. So you're telling me that Salka died, therefore I assumed, let's take the simplest case. As Rashi explains, this is why we take a very simple case. The simple case is that one of the brothers is also married to the daughter of his brother's, his deceased brother's wife. So this is quite a reasonable case. There were two brothers that married two sisters, and they were much older brothers. And then we talked about this back on Daf Tes in that long Rashi, remember, that went through every single one of the 15 cases. The simplest case was the mother-in-law case. There were two brothers marrying two sisters, and then there were two other brothers, and one of the younger brothers falls in love with the daughter of the brother that had married one of the sisters. And he marries that daughter, which is lovely. Marry your niece. So he goes and he marries the niece. Now, when that brother dies, then the sister that falls to him is also his mother-in-law, right? So if she's his mother-in-law, then of course he's out of the picture because that is one of the real arayas, the araysa. So he's not included in this discussion. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. If to one of them she's a mother-in-law or any of the other arayas, so then he doesn't have a problem because she didn't fall to him, and therefore there was no situation of achotzikukato, right? Okay, so then let's consider what that would mean. Because according to what you guys are saying, Amai, leko chatan, so we're talking about over here, even in a case, because you didn't say which case. So let's say the mother-in-law's sister was the first sister to fall. Now, the one who is the son-in-law is certainly allowed to be miyabem, the second sister, right? Because he doesn't have an achot zkukato. He only has one sister that ever falls before him, and that was the second sister. So he went ahead, and he did yibum with the second sister. Now the other brother should have no problem with the first to fall either. Because what should happen is that then the chamoto, the one who was the mother-in-law of that brother, to the other brother is like a Yavama that now became Muteret. She was Muteret when she fell. She became Usher when the other sister died. And then when his brother, who was allowed to, because he had a mother-in-law involved, he was allowed to take the second woman, second sister. So now the first sister to him is now Muteret. Chazrava Mutar, Tachzolat Erarishon, which would allow both brothers essentially to do Yibum in this case. And yet the Mishnah says, no, that's not possible. Why not? According to you, Rabbi Yochanan, assuming that the case is that mother-in-law falls first, then that would mean both can do Yibam. Amar of Papa, fine. So then we explain the Mishnah's talking about a case where the non-mother-in-law falls first. So if the non-mother-in-law falls first, how in the world is there a way for anybody to be matir her? Because at that moment, she is basically already asura. And there's no thing that's going to allow her to be chos. You're only going to be allowed to be mater the other one. Because the non-mother-in-law, of course, is the first one. Okay, so that's a way to explain the rest. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says, well, actually, things are not as simple as you're making them. This is all a big machlokes. And it's not that everybody agrees to the way you're learning it. It's actually a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And therefore, I say, and this was the Rebbe Eliezer we were referring to before, it's a machlokas, and that Beit Shammai says that actually, if they got married, they don't have to divorce. And Beit Hillel is the one who says if they get married, they do have to divorce. Now, what's really interesting is that even that is not clear, because in a bright that says that Rebbe Eliezer said, Beit Shammai Omrim Yikaimum, and Beit Hillel Omrim Yotziu. That's so far so good. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, now here we have another Shita, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, actually, if they got married, they could be Mekayim their wives. Now, Rabbi Shimon is not someone who can argue on both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. But he's not considered to be a Bar Plukta of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So then that means Rabbi Shimon is stating one of the halachas according to either Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. So we have to figure out what he's saying. Abba Sholomer, I say that it's the opposite. I say that it was Beit Hillel who was Mekel, and they said you don't have to get divorced, and it was Beit Shammai who was Machmer and said you do have to get divorced, and this is like all other cases. It's Beit Hillel who said Yekaimu, not Beit Shammai. So let me understand what's going on over here. So far, I see that we've got three possibilities. We've got the way the Tanakhama said it. The Tanakhama said, you definitely have to give a divorce. Then we have Rebbe Eliezer say, well, you could say that, but according to Beit Shammai, you actually don't have to give a divorce. And comes along Abba Shaul, and Abba Shaul says, look, according to Beit Hillel, you don't have to give a divorce. But what was Rebbe Shimon talking about? So who was he going like? Rebbe Shimon, come on. If he was saying Beit Shammai Shita, so he was saying that you don't have to divorce your wife because Beit Shammai says, that's Rebbe Eliezer. If he was saying you don't have to divorce your wife because that's what Beit Hillel says, then that's what Abba Shaul said. So basically, Rebbe Shimon is adding zilch. We have the same three possibilities that we had before. Says the Gemara, no, you don't understand. Rebbe Shimon was saying that there is no machlokes. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that you do not have to be Yotziu. So in other words, we have all of the possibilities. The Tanakhama holds that both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel hold that you do need to be Motzi. Then you have Rebbe Shimon who says that both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel hold that you don't have to be Motzi. And then we have a Machlokas Abba Shaul and Rebbe Eliezer as to who holds what, but there's definitely a Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. All right. So that's all that happened over here. Now let's move on to the Mishnah and understand it better. So the next thing that we had is that if one of the brothers was asur to marry one of the sisters, so he is allowed to take the other one b'yibum because there is no zika on him at all because she never fell to yibum to him, and she is mutter on the other one. Says, I understand that. This is an old idea. We had this back on Daf Chav. We had a klal. Achota kishi yevimta o choletzet o mityabemet. So remember what the mission was talking about over there. We had a guy who had two brothers who were married to sisters, and both of them fall. We're not talking about a complicated cases where there were two remaining brothers. There were three brothers. Two brothers were married to two sisters. That was the mission we had in the previous parak. Two brothers were married to two sisters. Those two brothers died. And the Mishnah says over there, if one of those sisters was an erva to the remaining brother, so then he can do yivam to the other one. So that's what you're saying over here. You're just repeating the same Mishnah. What do I care what the case is? It's the same idea. No, it's not, says the Gemara. It is not the same idea. Because when there are two brothers to whom the two sisters fell, and to one of those brothers, we have the Isser Erva, that is not the same as when there is one brother to whom both sisters fell. So let me explain to you why I need to separately introduce each one of these cases, and I would not be able to learn one out from the other. Tzricha. Let's imagine that we only had the Mishnah over there, where there's only one Yavam, the previous Mishnah that we had. I would have said, okay, I understand why if there's one Yavam that he's allowed to go ahead and marry the other one, who is the only one that really felt him for Yibum, because the other one is an Ervan, didn't fault him. Okay, it's obvious. But in this case, we've got two brothers. If we are going to allow one of the brothers to do Yibum, so then I might have thought that, well, you got to worry that if you allow one brother to do Yibum, the other brother may conclude that there's no Isser of Achot Zekuka. And if my brother could do Yibum, why can't I do Yibum? He doesn't realize that the reason that the brother is doing Yibum is because he does not have an Achot Zekuka Toh because of this lumpus that one of them is an Erev on him, and therefore she wasn't falling to him at all. I mean, most people have no idea what's going on with Yibum, for heaven's sake. So because of that, I would have thought, look, we can't allow even the first brother to do Yibum because then the second brother will go ahead and do Yibum. Okay, so that makes perfectly good sense that I need to know both cases. Now, you'll say, all right, so just tell us this case. And I would say, well, even over here where there's no Gezerah, even though there's a basis for Gezerah, for sure if there's only one brother, right? Wrong. Why? Because, look, if we only had this case where we have two brothers, so then I would say, because we have two brothers, one of whom is allowed to take biyibum and the other one who is not. Now, as you unfortunately know, and as we all know, this is going to be the talk of the town, right? How come Mr. Joe went ahead and was miyabim like a mensch? He was miyabim his brother's wife. And George, he went ahead and he just did chalitza. Oh, people will say, what do you mean? It's nothing to do with this being a mensch. I heard that only Joe was allowed to do yibum because one of them was an erev on him, but they didn't allow George to do yibum. Oh, really? Okay, so fine. And then that means that people don't make the mistake of thinking that there's no concept of achotziku kato, because in their Lashon Hara itself, they end up finding out what the issue is all about. But in the case where there's only one brother that actually demonstrates to the world that there is a concept of achotziku kato, you're right that there's no basis for a gezeira on a second brother because there ain't no second brother, but there is a basis for a gezeira because of the rest of the world misunderstanding what just happened. The rest of the world sees two sisters falling to a guy and he goes in and he does yibum, which will make them conclude there is no such thing as menachot zikuka. That's why I need both of these missions. Okay, fine. I accept that. Let's take the next piece of the mission. The next piece... What? Did I hear words from Barnea? The next piece of the mitzvah says that if instead of an iser erva falling to the guy, an iser mitzvah falls to the guy. So this is now, we talked before about iser mitzvah and iser shnias derabanan. We had a machlokas, which one is the mitzvah, which one is the Issa Kedusha. But the bottom line is we're talking about a case where not an Erva falls to him, but an Issa Drabonan or an Issa Lav, right? Depending on which one we're talking about, the Shnia, or we're talking about the Issa Lav. Now, in that case, of course, it is Usser to be Miyabe. It isn't really Usser, but it's Usser because of our Gezerah. What's our Gezerah? I mean, even if it was a Lav D'Oraisa, we should say, Ati aseh v'dochilosa said, the mitzvah of Yibum should be docha the iser. The only reason we don't say that is because it's all very nice to allow the guy to do Yibum. What's going to prevent him from continuing to sleep with her as her husband? And the mitzvah was already mekuyam with the first time that he had intercourse with her. That's the end of the Yibum. So because of that, we said gezera bia rishona or to bia shnia. So we make a gezera and we say, look, the best option over here is really chalitza. We're not going to go do yibum and sleep with her once and then give her a get. I mean, that's crazy. So therefore, do chalitza. Okay. Now, why do I need this? That appeared also in the Mishnah before. The Mishnah before said exactly the same thing where we had the situation. We had only one brother who survived. And we said, if that yivama is an iser mitzvah or an iser kedusha, the halacha is that she still needs chalitza. So obviously there's still zika there. If she still needs chalitza, chod so choletzet v'lo mityabemet. So then obviously if the sister falls at the same time, so then we still need chalitza. I mean, isn't that the same issue? No? No. Because that statement occurred where we weren't talking about achot. That statement was a general din. Remember that in the event that what we're talking about is a not an erva. It's the contrast of the first Mishnah that talks about the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, right? So then the Perek tells us, in the event that it wasn't one of the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, but it was Usser for some other reason, Isser Mitzvah Visser Kedusha, that introduced the entire Perek and the idea of Isser Mitzvah Visser Kedusha. Okay, but it wasn't talking about the complicated case of a sister. So I say it's different, because over there we were only explaining that an iser mitzvah prevents yibum, okay? But over here, it's a completely different issue. Think what's happening over here. It's not that we're being matir somebody to go ahead and to marry the iser mitzvah, the iser kedusha. All we're trying to say is that if to one of the brothers, she's an iser mitzvah, an iser kedusha, so then that brother doesn't have an achot zikuka. So, I mean, that's not exactly the same thing at all. So we should say over here that since we could allow Yibum here. Let's talk about the way the Gemara works this out in the end, and then we can go through the cases and the Sfaras. But it's obvious what's happening. What the Gemara is saying is, look, Midiraisa, there's a real mitzvah of Yibum here. You create this concept called Achot Zekukato. And because of Achot Zekukato, you want to prevent Yibum. So be consistent, okay? You create the idea of Achot Zekukato, which is a Drabonan fantasy. And you create the Isser of a Drabonan that you're not allowed to do Yibum to an Isser Mitzvah Isser Kedusha, which is also a Drabonan fantasy. So why don't you look at the Isser Mitzvah Isser Kedusha and say, we have such strong fantasies that in terms of the world of Drabonan, the Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha is the same as an Erva. So the same way that if an Erva falls to one, there certainly is no Isser of Zika, of Achot Zekukato. So if an Isser Drabonan, that the Drabonan call an Erva falls to one, and the whole din of Zika anyway here to Aser Achot Zekukato is also Drabonan, so we can say that in that world of the Drabonan, the Isser Drabonan of Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha is the full equivalent of an Erva to be matur doing the Mitzvah Yibum. We should be mavatal the Mitzvah Yibum. We have an easy way out to allow it. Now that's an excellent question. We're not saying go ahead and sleep with an Isser Mitzvah Isser Kedusha. All we're saying is that the brother to whom she fell should be considered to be mutter, to be miyabim, the other one, which is really true, Midiraisa. So that's what he should be doing. He should be doing yibum. That's a great question. So if I wouldn't have said that, would I have known such a thing? So of course the Mishnah has to say it. So since in this case we have both Isser Mitzvah plus the question of being matur, the sister who's achotah, so salkat, I mean, I would have thought, look, let's call the Isser Mitzvah an erva. And let the sister of the one that was usher to the other one for the Isser Mitzvah get Yibum. Comes along the Mishnah to say, we don't do that. I don't understand. Why would I have thought that? I mean, we know that Midiraisa, she's still Zekuka. So then he's going to have an Achot Zekuka. Now, you don't understand. What I'm saying is, that since this whole idea is a din derabbanan, so I would have said, derabbanan would say to themselves, since we have an opportunity to be matter the mitzvah of the rise of Yibum, which is such a chosh of a mitzvah, then why should we, let's treat her mishum mitzvah of a derabbanan. The derabbanan basically said that in this case, there would be no problem of achot zekukato, komash malan, that she's muteretz. This makes a heck of a lot of sense. Now, let's go on to the closing part of the mission over here. If one of these sisters is usher to one, and the as an Isser Erva, and one is usher to the other as an Isser Erva, so then what does it say in our Mishnah? Hamuteret lezo asura lezo, and therefore the one who is muteret to one is the one who is asura to the one brother is muteret to the other one, and so on. So each one of them can take it. What is this? This is exactly the same thing that we said before. Does it matter if there's one brother or there matters if there's two brothers? You said the brother to whom the erva fell, you said, is allowed to be miyabim. So now if we have the same thing multiplied by two, there were two brothers, each one of them is a brother to whom the erva fell, he's allowed to take the other one. I don't understand why we're not talking to idiots over here. Why do I have to tell you that the same thing is true if there were two brothers? Of course it's true. Why wouldn't it be true? So mali l'chad, mali l'trei, why would it matter to me whether it's one or two brothers? Oh, says Gemara, it does matter. Because if the Mishnah only told us in the case where one is asura to one of the brothers, I would have said, yes, the reason that we allow that brother to marry is because we don't allow the other brother to marry. And therefore, we are not undoing the popular perception of the concept of Achot Zekukato. Because as soon as the rumors start going, how come this guy went in? And as soon as those rumors start flying, then everything becomes clear. Well, he wasn't allowed to do Yibum, and only this brother was allowed to do Yibum. Remember, it's his mother-in-law, and so on and so forth, right? Okay, so maybe only there did I allow him to do Yibum. Mishum de'ika sheni de'muchach. There's another brother who, by the very virtue of his being usher to do Yibum, therefore proves that the other one is doing Yibum because it's a special circumstance in which his mother-in-law fell to him. Mashenkein, in our case, where there is no second brother, you're telling me there's only one brother, I would have thought people might misunderstand, and they're going to think that we're talking about a heter, and there's no iser on Achot Zekukato. And on the other hand, let's say the Mishnah told us over here, where we have the extra brother, I would have said just the opposite. The two brothers prove, one for the other, that it's only a din in marrying the one who is not the erva. So it immediately says, oh, wow, interesting. That was his mother-in-law. That was his mother-in-law. Oh, of course. So each one marries. Nobody's going to think that that would be true because there's no Isser of Achot Zekuka, because it's such a striking case, right? But in a case where only one of the sisters is an erva to one brother to allow him, and we don't, then it doesn't strike anyone. They're tzricha, and therefore I need both of these mishnas. Okay. And then the closing words, which of course was almost the opening words that we had back in the Masechet, back on Daf Tes, where we went through that whole giant Rashi, remember? Whew. Of all of the 15 Arayas cases of how it's possible to be a chota sheyivimta is asur lezez, buteret lezez, and asur lezez, buteret lezez. Oh my God, Rashi says, listen, hold on to your seats over here because I'm going to go through all the 15 cases, which we sort of skipped. But we just talked about the simple icons of how you have to realize the possibilities. Okay, that was that same case, right? We took it from here. Zoi shamru achota kishiyivimta, who is a asur lezeh mutarat lezeh, is the o choletzet o mityabemet. Now, what I want to understand is, what does the word zohi shamru mean? I mean, what do you mean zohi? Zoe, I mean, Zoe always comes to tell me, now don't make this mistake of thinking that it would apply in the other case. No, no, no. Zoe, this is the only case. What's the other case that it doesn't apply in? Could you please tell me? I mean, we're going through everything. Well, no, I mean, it would be only if it's a real Erva, but not if it's an Isser Mitzvah or an Isser Kedusha. I don't understand. Why do we need to repeat that? We said before that if one of the sisters is usher to one of the brothers, because of Isser Mitzvah, Isser Chalitza, that we said you can only do Chalitza. I don't care how many brothers there are in this case, do I? Mali Chad, Mali Trey. I mean, you're telling me that an Isser Mitzvah, an Isser Chalitza, an Isser Kedusha is not the same as an Erva to take off the din of Zika. So you said that already. Ah, but you see, Ma'ad Tema, Ki Lo Amrinu Uke Isser Mitzvah, Wakam Isser Erva. That's only where the reason that we didn't want to say what made so much sense to say before, that since this is all the world of a Drabbanan, so then the Drabbanan could easily have said, in the world of the Drabbanan, which has an Isser v'lachot zekukato, the Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha, which are also Drabbanan, are the equivalent of a real Erva to be on the brother, right? So we said, nope, you see, we don't do that. Ah, but maybe we'd love to do that, but we can't. Maybe in that case we can't. Because that would be dafka in a case where we have another brother who might misunderstand and go ahead and take it also and not recognize why it is that if she was mutaris to the first brother. But over here, it's she is asura on one and the other one is asura on the other one. So each brother has a sister who is an isra. One of the sisters, not has his sister, has a Yavama who is a sister to the other Yavama, who is an Isser Mitzvah. So over there, so what's going to, nothing can go wrong. So why don't we just say, okay, classic case, you say the mother-in-law fell, A's mother-in-law fell to B, and B's mother-in-law fell to A, and that's something that's very clear. The same thing is true. If it's not a mother-in-law, it's a great-grandmother-in-law, which is Drabbanan. Okay, but it's still, okay, great-grandmother-in-law to A falls. I mean, what's the difference? Isn't that exactly the same thing? So maybe we would. We would say that in that case, l'hayukim nisr mitzvah v'akam isr erva umiyavme, and l'hayukim nisr mitzvah v'akam isr esr umiyavme. It would make very good sense. Kamashma, therefore, the mission wants to tell us, look, the rules are clear. An isr mitzvah, an isr kedusha is not an erva. Under any circumstance, the Rabbanan did not make it an erva, even vis-a-vis the din of Achot Zekukato. Certainly not to be Matir Yibam, and to anybody in that case. That was given way back at the beginning. And therefore, what's left to us is this simple clawing. What happens if one brother is Mutter? What happens if both, if one brother has an Isser and a Heter? What happens if both brothers have an Isser and a Heter? And what is the difference between the erva and the Rabbanan? That's all. Now you understand all of the dinim, and that way people don't get confused. Now, remember this beautiful, beautiful Rabbi Chiya, And this came up at the beginning of the perek, was the question whether Rebbe buys into Rebbe Chiya or not. Rebbe Chiya viewed the Masechet as being an integrated whole, and therefore, all of the Mishnayos that describe cases are referring to the same set of arayas, says Rebbe Chiya. And therefore, if we end up with a Mishnah that says, here's some new rules, an achot zekuka is aser. Another rule, if one is zekuka, as is also an iser erva to A, and the other one is an iser erva to B, then the achot is going to be able to get yibum. I say, says Rabbi Chiya, every single one of the 15 arayas listed in the first Mishnah falls into that rule. And you could construct a case in which we will have two sisters that are married to two brothers and that then fall to two other brothers, and it will be possible to construct a case which has Asur lezeh muteret lezeh, Asur lezeh muteret lezeh, and I go further, says Rabbi Chiya. We could even construct a case where there is the tsara of an erva, because it has to be all of the 15 arayas plus the tsara. And I can even construct a case where the tsara of a tsara will be able to be in a situation where the tsara of a tsara is asur lezeh muteret lezeh, and I challenge you to follow me. And Rebbe, remember, we had that whole question before, Rebbe did not believe that the entire sugya was meant to fit all cases into all cases. So now, the question was, how far did Rebbe Chiya go? And if you recall, back at the beginning of the Masechet, we had this discussion. Because actually, Omer Yom Rav HaKetan Rebbe Chiya, B'chulan Ani Korei Be'em Asur Lezeh Mutaret Lezeh, and Achotak Yishiyevim Ta Ocholet Zetol Mit Yabem, which means we need to have a case where they are also sisters, and they are also alternate arayas to alternate surviving brothers, which creates many complications. So we had three different approaches to how far Rebbe Chiya wanted to go. Rebbe Yehuda said, look, he wasn't talking about literally all 15. He was talking about post-chamoto, which is the obvious case. But once we're talking about the bavas, the opening bavas of the Mishnah, what were they referring to? They were referring all of them to bat, right? Either the bat, or the bat, or the bat, or the bat, or the ben, or the bat, and so on, right? All of those cases. There is no way to construct a case unless we're going to allow illegitimate cases into the story. Because what we're trying to get over here is a situation. You're going to tell me that two brothers were married to two sisters, one of whom is a daughter of one of the brothers, and one of them is the brother, daughter of another brother. But you're not allowed to marry the same woman that was married to a brother and to have a daughter with her. So how could it possibly be that the same sisters could possibly be the daughters of alternate brothers? It makes no sense. Of course it makes sense. Suppose one, but we talk about rape, but we don't mean rape. And we mean suppose a casual relationship, right? So we have the first brother rapes a woman and has a daughter. The second brother rapes the same woman. Oh, she was great. Okay, so the second brother rapes the same woman and has a daughter. So now, those daughters are sisters? Yeah. And one of them is the daughter of brother A, and the other is the daughter of brother B? Yeah. And brother A and brother B are related to the same father? Yeah. Okay, so you have a simple case. The other two brothers went ahead and married those two daughters. So now they die, and the two sisters fall to their fathers. One is the daughter of one father, one is the daughter of the other father. It's very simple and very common. What's the big deal? The reason that I say that we don't want to get involved in those cases is because my sensitivity has it that we'd like to just stick to, you know, high-class relationships, not onasim. So we're not going to talk about onasim, and onasim lokomari. So this was the first attempt that we had to limit the extent of Rabbi Chiya's deal. Okay? So that's Rabbi Yehuda. Abaye says, no, what do you mean? Av pitomi anusato. Is the case exist? Yes. Is it anybody's business about how the genealogy comes about? What are you, some kind of voyeur or something? Who cares? You know that there's a possibility that genealogically this is going to be. What's the difference how the genes got deposited where they got? The important thing is, here's the relationship. This is the din of that relationship to Yibum, period. What's all of this business about sensitivities, please? So why should the Mishnah not include cases of Anusa? I say it even includes Bito. Yes. It's there, it's there. What do I care how it happened? Whatever the case is. But what I do think is that there is one of the 15 arayot that it couldn't apply to. I don't really mean it couldn't apply to. I mean it wouldn't apply to. Why? Because remember, in order to have an eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo, this is very simple. In order to have an eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo apply to one brother and not apply to the other brother, and having the sister being an eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo to the same other brother but not to the first brother, I mean, that's impossible. Which one was born last? I mean, how could it be mutter to one and yasser to the other one? If they were both born after the death, then it's usher on both, right? Wrong. Wrong? Of course it's wrong. You know that, because according to Rabbi Shimon, it's easy to construct a case like that. The case is going to be defined by one brother who was born before the brother who survived. Remember a classic case, Reuven and Shimon. They were the brothers who died, and then we had Levi and Yehuda. Right? So now Reuven dies, and now we've got this other brother that comes along and is born before Levi gets a chance to do Yibum. So that's an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Levi does Yibum, and now another brother is born. Oh, that brother found her in a state of already being introduced to him. Remember, little brother Levi, that was that case. Little brother Levi, here is your brother Shimon's wife. But if little brother Levi would have been born before, we would have to say, little brother Levi, here's your dead brother's Reuven wife. Oy, ay, ay, I'll never be able to be Miabimer, right? Okay, so we can easily construct a case, which we will do in a second, in which you've got one brother who was born at a time that one of these sisters was left to the Yavam. The other brother who was born even later, so you'll say, well, if he was born even later, he's for sure an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Not true. Because when he was born, she was already the wife of the brother who had been miyabim her. So it's very easy to construct the case, right? So it's a big deal. But I say the reason that we don't agree that Rabbi Chiya was referring to all 15, even including Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, is because since it's only possible to create that case according to Rabbi Shimon, and not according to the Rabbanan, I don't believe that we would have used a machloket and talked about all of the cases, where it's not really true according to everybody. So let's just see that. I agree, says Abaye, that Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, lo. Why? Because given that libid Rabbi Shimon ud mishkachas lo, but libid Rabbanan lo mishkachas lo, I say beplurta lo kamare. And then we have the third shita, that's Rav Safra. Rav Safra says, look, he said 15 cases. Man, that's what he meant. He's including even Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. It's a simple case that works out according to Rabbi Shimon. And all you need is six brothers working it out, a libid Rabbi Shimon, and it's easy to remember the order. Simple order. Dead, born, Yibum, dead, born, Yibum. Here's the case, okay? And you know already the case. You know it as an icon. We're going to go through it because the Gemara goes through it, but it's clear in your brain. It's easy to construct a case where one brother, even though he's younger, is not an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo to an older one, because when he was born, the older one is the second one's wife. And there's no problem, according to Rabbi Shimon. All right, but the Gemara wants to make sure that you understand it. Let's go through the six cases. According to Rabbi Shimon, here's the case. You have two sisters. Okay? And here's so you have Reuven and Shimon. They married these two sisters. Levi and Yehuda are married to their own wives, because we need to get Soros involved here, you see. So Levi and Yehuda they have their own wives. Now, Reuven dies. Okay. little baby Yisachar is born and is introduced to this woman as, this is your dead brother's Reuven's wife. Then Levi comes along and he does Yibam. Now Shimon dies. Shimon was married to sister number two. And little baby Zevulun is born. And he's introduced to this woman. This is your dead brother Shimon's wife. And who's this other wife? That's Levi's wife. Somebody said she was my dead brother Reuven. What dead brother Reuven? Not in your universe, buddy. You never know of such a thing. Okay. So he's got one that's Butter, one that's Aser. Then comes along Yehuda. Okay. And Yehuda is Miyabin. Very good. Now, Levi and Yehuda both die. And now the original two fall to two brothers, Yisachar and Zevulun, who were born later. Classic. Asur l'zeh, mutar l'zeh, asur l'zeh, mutar l'zeh. And their sisters, and therefore, the achotashi, yevimta. It's all true. Wait, I understand. Why'd you make it so complicated? Why did Yehuda have to go ahead and be miyabim? There was no brother who was born after that. So basically, even if Yehuda didn't go and it was miyabim, one of them is Asura, and one of them is Muteret, right? So why did we need Yehuda? Without Yehuda's being miyabim, we would still have it. No, but you forgot that we need to have a Tzora, for heaven's sakes, right? How are we going to get a Tzora? Yehuda was the one who was married to another woman, who was a Nochris. And therefore, Levi and Yehuda both have to have the marriage done before we can start discussing this. That's why. And therefore, we need to have the Tzora of an Asur L'zeh, Mutar L'zeh. So we needed to create a case where there would be two brothers who would be married to these two sisters who also had wives of their own. And now those two wives will be Aser to Yisachar and Zevulun. And they could have a case, which it would be Asur L'zeh, Mutar L'zeh. That's all. And we could have a Chotash Yevimta. The case of the Tzoras were sisters. That's very simple. Yeah, but that only explains it, Tzora. How do you get it, Tzora, Tzora? There should be no Tzora, Tzora. Sure, why not? There was two other brothers, Gad and Asher, and they had gone ahead and they had married the Tzoras. And these Tzoras were also sisters. Toi, vavoi. And then they died. So now we've got exactly the same situation vis-a-vis Yisachar and Zevulun. To one, it's the Tzoras Tzora of the first Ach Shaloi Bolamo. And to the other, it's the Tzoras Tzora of the other Ach Shaloi Bolamo. Asur L'zeh, Mutar L'zeh. What's the big deal?